this is the Yes to Life show. This week's show is something special for me and for Yes to Life, the charity that I founded in 2005. It's to be the first in a series highlighting the many top international contributors to the new book, The Cancer Revolution, that's coming out on April the 21st and is to be sold entirely in aid of Yes to Life. The main author of the book, who's worked with me to develop the whole project, is Patricia Peat, founder of Cancer Options Consultancy and an expert in integrated medicine techniques. So it's natural for this first show that I'm talking to her about the complete book and the thinking behind it.
Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Robin.
Here we are at the end of one long journey and the beginning of the next, which is to get our joint project, The Cancer Revolution, a completely new kind of book about cancer and cancer treatment, Integrative Medicine, The Future of Cancer Care. It's complete and about to be launched. So one of the extraordinary features of this new book, The Cancer Revolution, is that all the contributors, including you, have provided their content completely free, as have our incredible designer Bina Turulli, editor Ruth Thackeray, and a whole host of other proofreaders.
Hasn't she done a good job?
Oh, man. Wow. Amazing.
Hats off to you. Fantastic. I'm actually knocked out with the design and everything. Not that that wasn't how I envisaged it in the first place. No, it is fantastic. Well done.
No, it's really nice, isn't it? And so all our proofreaders, researchers, everybody has given their time free. And what this all means is that the profits from the sale of the book will go straight to the charity Yes to Life to support people with cancer in using integrative medicine. So a big personal thank you to you and to any contributors who happen to be listening on behalf of Yes to Life.
Yeah, so, well done, everybody.
Yeah.
It's a great thing about integrative medicine. It does bring people together in a common cause, I think.
It does. It's a bit of a passion for a lot of people, including us. So can we start at the beginning with the concept of the book? I mean, what was the original concept for it and what's revolutionary about it anyway?
Right. Well, the revolutionary bit was how long it took. Tolstoy was sat there tutting. God. Sorry. The original concept of the book, it's to introduce people to this world of integrative medicine that they may not get exposed to, and to introduce them to it in a positive way that allows them to work their way through it in a more methodical way. A lot of people have this experience of being diagnosed with cancer, going into the cancer world, going through the experience of clinics and being offered treatment, etc. And then for a lot of people, the question comes up, okay, right, that's fine. So what can I do? What can I do to help myself? I'm feeling absolutely overwhelmed. I'm feeling helpless. I'm feeling like, you know, my life has been taken over by cancer. Okay, where am I in all this? And frequently and too often, the answer, you know, from the orthodox world is you are nowhere. You are just to be given treatment. We take it over. And when treatment finishes, okay, let's all cross our fingers and hope. And that is largely the experience of a lot of people. Now, integrative medicine is a big subject, and that's one of the stumbling blocks of people coming into the area is, okay, there's all this integrative medicine, what used to be known as alternative medicine, and there's a vast array of things and practitioners and approaches out there, and without some overview and guidance, it's very, very difficult for people to sort of say, okay, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. How on earth do I make that appropriate to myself? And that's the work of the practitioners who contribute so well to this book, is trying to help people find their own way, because the whole breadth of support in this respect means that right from the very basics to the very, very complex and expensive clinics and other things, is that there is something for everybody. There's something that everybody can find that suits them and their philosophy, their budget, etc., that can be helpful in treatment support, treatment recovery. If you decided not to have treatment, there is absolutely something for everybody. So, the purpose of the book is, hey, look what's out there. Look at this world. Look at what can be done, and look how safely it can work alongside your treatment, or to help you recover and survive a ship afterwards. And a more methodical way of I believe the trendy word is signposting, Robin.
Yes, absolutely.
It helps to signpost people. Sorry. Anyone who knows me knows my love of jargon. It is actually helping to signpost people to what may be the right areas for them to concentrate on and work in. And work through as well. I think the important message I always try to get across to my clients is one step at a time and focus. There's a lot of information out. There's a lot of groups. It's all good. But the counterbalancing side to that is that everything can become overwhelming and then very stressful. And am I making the right decisions? Oh my God, shouldn't I be doing that, and that as well?
Yes.
And what we want is people to sort of say, okay, this is you know, what's appropriate for you at the moment. This is, makes sense to you. Let's focus on this. Let's take this next step and work through this together. And then other things may well come in the fore in the future.
Right. So it's a bit of a navigational tool, basically, to make a good start on the maze.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so you, as the book's author, you've set the scene by writing an introduction to the subject matter of the book, integrative medicine or integrative oncology, to be precise. And you've wrapped the book up at the conclusion at the end, and you've contributed all the way through with a lot of smaller sections that add additional information to what's been given by the contributors. But then the remainder of the book is written by no less than 37 other experts, both from the UK and around the globe. Can you give us a little taste of who some of these contributors are and why you wanted them to be in the book?
Right, why they've been chosen because they are experts and leaders in their field, and each of them has a particular interest in holistic medicine, coming from a different concept. So we're presenting a whole smorgasbord of what's available out there. And whenever people are working in an holistic way, the message we're always trying to get across to them is everything's important. So, cancer treatment is important, working against cancer is important, repairing the body is important, mind-body stuff is important. So we've picked out really what we consider to be the real experts in that field that each specialise in that area. So, you've got people like, Rosie Daniel, who is the head guru of mind-body work in integrative medicine, so experienced and worked for so many years and developed to a fantastic skill who really works on that. There's Linda Brown, who's a fantastic award-winning food and cookery writer with a fantastic breadth of experience in nutrition, organic food and farming, which can help to guide people through that area in terms of, okay, what do we need to pick out, what's important there. There's Damien Downing, who's been a real leader in integrative medicine in working in ecological medicine, how the environment affects us and affects our bodies and what influence that has on mind, body and physical elements in the body, and also identifying underlying elements that may have contributed towards this. Robert Jacobs, who's a fantastic naturopath and homeopath, whose analysis of what's happening in the body at any one stage of treatment and what needs to be put right is I know he's I work with him a lot, and some of his work is just a fantastic contribution to helping people get back on the right track. Then on a different element, you got Jenny Lee Grace, who is just a complete expert on mind and information on a very practical level on a day-to-day basis, how this chemical cascade that is we are bombarded with on a daily basis in our daily lives can affect us, and what alternatives we can put in place. Hopefully, she puts in some fantastic practical common sense advice on cleaning products and different toxins and how to replace them and to reduce that load, because one of the elements we find tremendously working in this area is we're all bombarded with a toxic load and our environment, my parents grew up in rural Ireland, their environment compared to the one I live in is very, very different. And I think, to some extent, it's how the body's able to deal with that and to methylate and detoxification things is a major contributory factor to this perfect storm that people get. On the nutrition side, there's many different elements of nutrition. There's great advice on ketogenic diet. great advice on eating naturally. And of course, we've got Jason Vail, who on a wonderful section on juicing, why we should juice, why juicing is such a marvellous contribution to people when they're diagnosed, when they're under treatment and in recovery, so that maximising nutritional input is actually very, very important. And I would say, Robin, it's really interesting at the moment, because what's been emerging over the years is some elements of medicine, whether it be orthodox or working in integratively, is theorised. But the evidence that's coming through now to support this is actually brilliant. And there was actually a study out the other day, literally last week, that really importantly made a step forward on this, because we always get this thrown at us, where's the evidence, where's the evidence? Well, there's loads of evidence, as you know, we've got this wonderful website supporting with all the evidence, all these studies on there. Right. And the classical view in medicine is the, you know, that this is a genetic instability, this is a DNA mutation. And the classical view has always been that genes control how nutrients are broken down into important molecules. So it's chicken and egg. Right. This really important study the other day shows that the opposite is actually true. This is the concept that integrative medicine is based on, is that how nutrients break down in the body affects how the genes behave. And so someone's actually gone and proven this now.
Right.
That there is cause and effect between what goes into the body, how the body's able to deal with it, and how that influences the genetic behaviour. And an important thing that, you know, a concept we're always trying to get across to people is that genes are not fixed. You know, the medical world kind of puts this across that, you know, or get, not puts it across. There's an impression, I think, amongst the general public that if there's a genetic aberration in the body, if there's a genetic overexpression or suppression that has caused cells to start to lose their normal function and to become malignant, that is fixed. But unless you have, you know, gene therapy as such. And actually what we now know to be true, and the evidence is emerging very, very strongly, is that no, genes are not fixed. They can overexpress, they can underexpress, they can switch on, they can switch off. There's not much going off in orthodox medicine at the moment that fixes that, and maybe that is the big key to why, you know, the success is not what it should be. And actually, there's a very, you know, people have a very, very positive and real effect on at cellular and genetic level by incorporating integrative medicine. And when you get that concept, integrative medicine suddenly becomes very exciting. Right, so we've also got Dr. Contreras, who runs the Oasis of Hope Hospital in Mexico, which has for a long time been at the forefront of integrative medicine in terms of clinical work that is done much more intensively with people than we have available in this country. And there are a lot of integrative clinics around the world, and a lot of them doing very good stuff. And it always, if you look at the Oasis of Hope, it incorporates all the different elements that you would want someone to have when they're dealing with cancer, in terms of orthodox treatments, you know, potentially might play a place if they're appropriate. So nothing is put aside. Things are used in combination, so you can use lower doses. It's all done in helping the body to repair, recover at low toxicity. And this is so important for anybody undertaking this work. It's done with a great emphasis on the spiritual, the mind-body, the energy healing of the body, which brings it all together. Because dealing with cancer mechanistically and dealing with cancer like, you know, targeting a part, I'm fixing that part of the body,
right,
is not futile, but it's lacking, I think would be the good thing to say. It's lacking in a lot of elements. And, you know, a lot of the time when you analyse what's happened for somebody in the body and you find things like glutathione pathways completely deleted, you see that people are going to have Groundhog Day unless, you know, more is done, unless they look further into these things. And, you know, Dr. Contreras is, you know, is a fantastic example of a great practitioner who has, you know, moved things on tremendously, and helps to give people the opportunity to, you know, to put themselves in a completely different place. And then, you know, to add to the wide area of approaches there are, nutrition's important, diet's important. And, you know, along came the ketogenic diet, which kind of turned everything on its head and, you know, sort of, okay, we thought we got it all sorted out. And suddenly there's an emergence of evidence that actually tweaking the diet in a different way, whereby sugar and carbs are kept out, you know, altogether, and replaced with high fats, good fats that are anti-inflammatory, can have a significant effect. And the ketogenic diet has really taken off, both in practice and in evidence, tremendously, in a very short time. And, you know, we have a chapter on that from Patricia Daly, who's this fantastic nutritionist in Ireland, who, as is widely known, you know, has had a molecular count melanoma herself, which is a potentially nasty situation, and has kind of sorted that out absolutely fine with ketogenic diet. And the bits of evidence that creep into the orthodox world, fasting before chemotherapy is now in clinical study, the reduction of glucose that weakens cancer cells and affects its metabolization, is gathering pace at last. You know, it's been such a long time in coming that the metabolic element is a real concept that can, you know, can undermine cancer, both weaken it and affect its genetic stability and its genetic ability to keep going. Unfortunately, we don't. This is the thing with the book. We don't see people. Don't get that evidence. They don't get that story here very much.
No.
Europe, yes. America, so much more so. And the number of times I sit with discussing different strategies and programs, etc., and they're saying to me, "Well, why aren't we told about this? You know, what if and there is good evidence for this. So why are we just told no? It's a lot of rubbish. Go out and eat a load of sugar and keep your weight on." And, you know, and people are getting pretty fed up with that, I must say. So really where research is taking us is obviously with having some positive developments in the medical profession in immune therapy, which is looking like the first real breakthrough, the real positive thing, because it's utilizing the immune system, which comes as no shock to anybody who's been working in integrative medicine on this very subject for many, many years. But also the whole picture of how we've looked, or the, you know, orthodox medicine has looked at cancer as a disease right from its early instigation, that maybe the whole concept and pathway they've gone down is flawed, which may sound like a big statement to make, but actually evidence is coming through that really we know that treatment success hasn't been what everybody would have liked by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, with the metabolic approach, no one's saying that that's the complete answer, because cancer is, you know, could be multidimensional. But that maybe DNA mutation, the effect on genetically on the actual DNA of the cells, is a result of a metabolic disorder, not the other way around. And that what we get with the mitochondria, which are the power sources of the DNA, is first we get the genomic instability, then we get the damage and the mutations to the expression of genes to the DNA, and not the other way around. So maybe scientists have been chasing a bit of a flawed scientific concept, and cancer is not a disease of damaged DNA, but one of defective metabolism, which then knocks onto damaged DNA. And I strongly believe that this is a very, very viable concept that ought to be followed through, and that some of the vast amounts of money they're put into cancer research really ought to be focusing on this very strongly, because the idea that it's a metabolic origin comes right from the 1920s, got sidetracked and went down the way that orthodox medicine has gone, and only now is there a slight, you know, a turning back towards it.
A re-evaluation, yeah.
But it makes perfect sense to at least focus on it, look at it, research it, and it actually makes scientific sense of everything about integrative medicine. You know, we've got some marvellous contributors. Mm. You know, the people I mentioned and so many more. Every one of them is. It's not alternative medicine people, you know, that we've moved on from that area. I'm sure there's still elements of that, but people working in the shadows just trying to con money out of people and tell them a load of old rubbish. You know, I've always held the idea very strongly that people who are diagnosed with cancer and want to look at different things and want to work with them, you know, with themselves and know that healing and healing the body and repair is so much more than pharmaceutical drugs. They're not stupid, no. You know, they're not stupid. They're not going to, you know, get misled by a lot of people, but they need the guidance to find the good stuff.
Mm, absolutely.
And this is what, you know, this is absolutely what the book is doing.
Great.
Yep. And on another element, we try to cover everything holistically. We've got a brilliant section on exercise. Professor Robert Thomas is a consultant oncologist at Bedford and Allingbrooks, and working in oncology is not unique, but is forward thinking in supporting that lifestyle, exercise, anti-inflammation, etc., has a scientifically proven physiological effect on the body, the mind, and you know, he was the chief investigator of the controlled trial on the POMI-T polyphenol supplement, and came out with the clinical studies for that. And he's an example of how the creeping of integrative medicine is reaching into orthodox medicine, that doctors are, you know, starting to look and think, actually, yes, you know, there is more to it than that. And, you know, on the wider thing of the environmental toxins, etc., you know, we've got Rob Verkek, for everybody in creative world knows him. He's just the most amazing resource and powerhouse behind the Alliance for Natural Health International, which really is taking on this big world of this one-dimensional view of pharmaceuticals and trying to undermine everything else that's being done, which is something that's happened so often in the past. And, you know, very, very clinically and scientifically showing us that, yeah, there's a lot of problems with the environment, with the way that healthcare is done, with the different ways and the different influences that influence what is made available to us, and challenging that, and really challenging it and sort of saying, actually, you know, people do not want to go down this path. Mm. People do not, you know, we don't want it. This is not anti-orthodox medicine. It's anti what we've done with orthodox medicine. Mm. That it's too damn one-dimensional. It's too restrictive on people. And it's, you know, I think it's a crime to restrict people, people's views, people's ideas, and people's attempts to help themselves. To undermine that, I get very angry about, actually. I always appreciate anybody who's got a good viewpoint and will always listen to it. But when you have people with cancer who are just, you know, their efforts are being undermined, it's really annoying. And Rob is just a powerhouse resource for taking on the big guns and sort of saying, look, you know, we're not going to be pushed down these avenues. That's it might be what the pharmaceutical companies want, but it's not what we want. And we want to create healthcare that is healthcare for people, not healthcare for big companies. Mm. So he's fantastic. It's a bit like, you know, I'm not saying that the emperor has no clothes, but he's pretty much down to his underpants in many respects.
Okay.
We've got also Zandra Williams, Bernard Willis. Zandra Williams is just an incredibly well qualified person who's studied naturopathy and botanic medicine, psychotherapy for many years, and has such a fantastic approach that is evidence-based, is science-based, is common sense-based, and you know, has focused on researching cancer as a process and looking at, you know, detection and using plant-derived and natural substances to restore the body, restore balance. Balance is everything with cancer. Cancer is an imbalance, and restoring balance is brilliant. And she does fantastic work with that. Then Bernard Willis, he used to work as a private GP, and has got, you know, has again moved into looking at nutrition, diet therapy, bioidentical HRT, etc., supplements, and the evidence base for how those work on the body and how they, you know, they reduce the different elements that affect cancer in terms of lack of nutrition, imbalance, angiogenesis, inflammation, or that whole coming together of things that needs to take place for people.
Okay.
We've got so many fantastic contributors, all bringing so many different amazing elements to this. And apologies to anybody I haven't mentioned, because this could go off about 3 hours if I did. But, you know, other people we've got, Shazzy's done fantastic stuff on raw food for people who want to look at that side of things. Daphne Lambert with elements on nutrition. And, you know, the whole holistic element of stuff. We've even got George Emston, who's a marvellous chap, on dealing with finance and, you know, the practical elements of dealing with cancer in relation to the real world. So it really is something for everybody, for every avenue that they're dealing with. It certainly doesn't provide all the answers to everything, or is not a prescription in any way. This is a sort of look, you know, that we need to focus, you know, this is the whole world that's out there, and there's, you know, we need to sort of work with people to sort of say, okay, these are the elements that are important to you at this moment in time, this is the information you need, these are the resources, these are the experts, and, you know, set people off with their integrated paths in that respect.
Great. All right, well, look, that's a little taster of who's contributed to the book. And as you say, there's a wealth of them, there's many more we haven't mentioned, but can we have a quick look at the book itself, Nan? It's divided into parts, and I just want to briefly run through the parts and what the purpose and content of each of the parts are. So we start off with part one is largely your contribution, and is talking about getting to know the territory. So maybe you just want to say a little bit about what's in part one.
Okay, so what we've tried to do with the book is not just sort of say, whoa, this is a great big world out there, here's a load of stuff. We've tried to very methodically guide people through it so that you can go to different sections and find what you're looking for and where for. Part one is really one of my main bits, which is an introduction to the world of integrative medicine, laying out the territory and making the case to some extent for integrative medicine and where it fits in terms of why it is where it is with its relationship with orthodox medicine at the moment, why we want to change that, and what are the main elements, the main arguments for doing so. It's a fantastic section of the book, I have to say.
Right. Modestly said, Patricia.
Yeah, well, it is one of you know, I think it's very important that that side of things is, you know, we're always having to justify ourselves, and quite rightly so. When you have something that's revolutionary, when you have something that's different, and when you have something that's saying, actually, there's more to dealing with cancer than just that, you've got to justify yourself. And it is an odd world that we work in, that we live in, that the way orthodox medicine has been set up is very one-dimensional and has been for a very long time. And we're saying, actually, no, it could do with being much wider, much broader than that. And this is why, at the moment, we have this, and we, you know, this is all about changing that. This is why, at the moment, we have this kind of relationship whereby people are not always given the information that they need. So that's kind of an introduction to that, to give people the, you know, why on earth should you even be considering this? Why should you not just be listening to your doctor? Why is there stuff out there that your doctor doesn't know about? And there's very good reasons for that. And it's not individual doctors' faults or them being, you know, just being obnoxious or scrupulous about things. It's a whole environment. So that's that part. Part two is devoted to nutrition and all the different nutritional approaches. And again, there isn't a direct and very prescriptive element for dealing with cancer. This is what you get when you go on the internet. For folks who've got cancer, sometimes they go on the internet and someone goes, this is the way to do it. Ignore everything else. This is, you know, just do this and you'll be absolutely fine. And actually, for everybody, they need to find what's right for them, as I say, in terms of their approach. I meet a lot of people who have managed to obtain some information and suddenly find themselves on a nutritional approach that is, for them, horrendously stressful, right, not making sense, scary, and that is not holistic. That is not holistic. Nutrition is important, but it's only one element of it. And different approaches can bring different things. So, you know, there's things there to choose. So we've got a fantastic section on nutrition. Part three is looking at the very important factors of what has possibly affected us. What has possibly affected us in the body, psychologically, emotionally, that may have contributed to the perfect storm of becoming unwell, and looking at where those elements may be and what might be the different strategies people use to both identify them and to start to repair and rebalance the body, both physically and emotionally and psychologically. And whilst that may sound like a big thing to do when someone's dealing with cancer, it's actually very, very important. And once someone's completed treatment or not having treatment, there's some real clues and cues that can be given as to what went wrong. I mean, you know, a lot of people I see would be described in any context as having relatively healthy, not too unhealthy lifestyles, and certainly not what's represented by the government in terms of the total person who gets cancer. But there are always elements there that have contributed. Stress is a major factor. Mm. Lack of exercise becomes a major factor. It affects the way the body functions. And if the detoxification pathways, if the genetic, if what has happened to us, and it's not our fault, but what happens to us affects the way that our genes can function, the way that our genes can express and or suppress others, that balance goes. Okay, so in part four, we've got a section on dealing with toxins and the environment and everything that affects us in modern life that can contribute to becoming unwell. So looking at that is very important. I mean, an example of this, a lady recently who has just finished treatment for HER2 breast cancer, wanted to look at went off to the Paracelsus in Switzerland, which is awesome for this, and healthy to you know, to anyone's eyes or, you know, interpretation. And, you know, she's got a very toxic load in the body. She's got mercury, which is no big surprise, but she's got a very toxic load of arsenic. Her husband's a chef, so eyebrows are raised there. But but what this comes from is what people don't realise, I think, to a large extent, with toxins. It's not necessarily that you are exposed to a known toxic overload like mesothelioma or been down a coal mine or anything like that. But if the body's not functioning properly, in her case, her liver wasn't functioning properly, that has built up over years. That hasn't been got rid of. Mm. And of course, if we didn't get rid of that, why wouldn't she have a groundhog day of everything just coming back again? Because there's a carcinogen in the body. So,
And just to be clear, the Paracelsus is a Swiss clinic run by Dr. Rao, who's one of the contributors to the book.
Yeah, no, Dr. Rao is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And there's, you know, with clinics, different clinics do different things. And the Paracelsus, for people who want to get to the bottom of what's gone wrong and completely clear out, is, you know, a fantastic place to be. Also, all that work can be done here as well. On the context of everything is available to people on several, you know, on different levels, there's an awful lot of good work that people do that, you know, identifying these things and sorting them out can be done here as well.
Okay.
So what we try to do with the book is to signpost people to where they need to be. Because obviously if someone's just been diagnosed and they're about to go through treatment and they're in the eye of the storm and they're going, oh my God, and there's information coming up everywhere. At that point, it may just be too much to go and sort your household environment out or put money on, you know, spend money on that and that kind of thing. People stepping through the process in terms of, okay, this is what I'm doing now, that's fine, I can move on to things later. It's a journey, you know, and we're trying to map out that journey for people. So Jane's section and others on what may possibly contribute both environmentally and personally, and stress and everything like that is very important.
So part five is the last sort of major section of the book content, called Hospitals and Testing. What have we got there?
Right, well, part five, pardon me, is really about trying to, again, paint the picture of where integrative medicine fits in with orthodox medicine, and to empower people within that. The system as a whole can be pretty overwhelming and a bit conveyor beltish, and it does take people, scoop people up and take them along. And, you know, anyone listening to this who's been to, you know, I used to run oncology clinics, I know what it's like. I say, okay, oh God, they're asking questions. Okay, can we get them answered as fast as possible? We've got another 20 people to see before 5 o'clock, etc. And that's got to go through your mind. And we, you know, people are now much more going along to their oncologists and asking questions, asking about different elements. And we need to help, you know, this is about helping people manage that. Because, you know, where integrative medicine is going is into a partnership with the medical profession, whether the medical profession know that yet or not. Surprise! this is what we, you know, this is our aim. It's not, the aim of integrative medicine is integration. It's to prove to these guys that actually there's, you know, nobody has all the answers, but there is a lot of stuff that's being missed. But then, you know, practically for the person, it's a big learning curve when you're diagnosed with cancer. It's a big learning curve to look at the orthodox world, to look at integrative medicine, say, blimey, where do these two come together? And then for the person to get up on a Monday morning and go down to their oncology clinic and sort of say, right, I want to talk to you about all these things and I'm doing things differently. Then, you know, that needs a lot of support. Yes. It's very isolating in this country, and hopefully this book will enable that to be less so, and hopefully medical practitioners will read it and suddenly think, okay, alternative medicine isn't just a load of wacky people doing a load of nonsense. It's evolved into a very science-based element. But this section is really useful information about how to deal with your medical team in a very, you know, in a very proactive, polite and manipulative manner, and also in terms of getting information from them, how to use that information, how to empower yourself. That, you know, all we ever want with integrative medicine is to help people learn how to become their own healers. Right. on every level. And working with the medical world that they're working in is a very important part of that. So there's a lot of really good information in there. Dr. Henry Manning still works in both areas, has done a marvellous rundown of, you know, it's all about the psychology of where the doctors are coming from, where you're coming from, how to make it work without making it a battleground. You know, right. we don't want to introduce people to integrative medicine and then make it a horribly stressful situation. You know, so we're trying to support people on every single element with this book.
So, yeah, this section also includes testing, which I know is very important.
It is, absolutely. And it's important, we've talked slightly about testing for underlying imbalances and things like that. Also, there's a heck of a lot going off at the moment. There's marvellous developments in testing. The orthodox side of testing and analysing and what's going on it reached a bit of an impasse, and there's a lot of things on the horizon keep getting promised to us, but we don't know are coming yet. But essentially, once people are through treatment, there does tend to be a bit of a dropping off the cliff in terms of what happens to me now. And we've done in this section, a rundown of different tests that the orthodox doctors can do and will do, how to understand them, where that fits in context. And typically that is, again, focused very much on the cancer side of things. And to complement that, there are other tests that you can do. And for example, you know, to give you an example of this is you know, breast cancer. Somebody who's had breast cancer, they've been through treatment, they've, a clear in remission, etc. There are no good tumour markers for breast cancer. there aren't any consumer markers at the moment from the orthodox side, so they're relying on physical examination, on CT scans. But somebody may go, you know, wholeheartedly an integrated program, and then about 18 months down the line, everything's okay. They say, well, okay, how am I now? How, you know, where have I got to? Do I need to carry on doing as much as this? You know, can I start to pull things back a little bit? And there's a lot of science and testing that can tell us, you know, where someone's at, what can they do. Hormone methylation testing can help someone look at where the hormone methylation has gone wrong in terms of breast cancer. There's testing of circulating cancer cells that can give a good indication of how, if there's any signs of any activity that one needs to be wary about, inflammatory markers. Again, a massive range of science that anybody can pick out elements that they may find may be helpful to them, that they can integrate with the way that their orthodox medicine, orthodox oncologists are kind of monitoring them and looking after them in the longer term.
Okay, and the rest of the book, there's quite a bit of additional information about this. There's several appendices. One of them that's interesting is the integrative clinics around the world. Yeah. Why is that in the book? And
well, again, we've tried to present the whole integrative world to people. And other parts of the world have been doing this much, much longer than us. Although there's some areas that we're quite advanced in, actually. We've got some fantastic practitioners in this country. In terms of having somewhere where everything is done quite intensively under one roof, where someone is sort of looked after 24/7, there are integrative clinics around the world. An increasing amount of them. Europe's always been very integrative, so there's a lot of experience over there, people using immune stimulation, hypothermia, like Paracelsus, analyzing different elements, perhaps using natural anti-cancer compounds to help get things under control. So there's a whole smorgasbord of stuff, and then there's places like the Helvang where they're using, you know, the very, very new technology of sequencing of biopsies to find out where the targets are. And really that's to introduce people to the possibilities that are out there. It may be appropriate for some people at a certain point. But again, these places which are accessed by people dealing with cancer all around the world, it shows the breadth of the revolution that is taking place in integrative medicine. And it really amazingly opens people's eyes to what other people are achieving. Mm. And again, that's what we're lacking here, Robin, to a large extent, isn't it, for people, is that context.
Right.
Of where, you know, that, yeah, these things are happening. Yes, people are benefiting. But, you know, just people are just not being exposed to that kind of information. So, mm. You know, what we've tried to do is bring the whole picture to them.
Something to aim for in the UK, eh?
Oh, please. Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm depressed.
There's also a section on understanding scans, which is important, I think, for people. They're inevitably going to have to deal with
them. A very big issue for a lot of people. Once people start to gain knowledge, they know that a lot of orthodox treatments cause inflammation, which is a big problem in the body. And then the analysis, the scans, bring with themselves a certain element of, they're inducing radiation in the body. They may be injecting glucose into the body. There's different risk factors with that. We got a section by Dr. Maurice Orange, who used to work in England and actually should have been banned from leaving.
I agree.
I think kidnapping and bringing him back would be not inappropriate. And he's done a wonderful section for us, because that's a question for a lot of people. Mammograms, thermal imaging, all these different things. How to work through what's the right thing to have, what are the risks, are scans being used inappropriately, are they being done too often, are they actually useful, can we offset the side effects that we're getting from that, and right. You know, do they fit into the bigger picture, and how to understand them, how to understand in context. It's a funny thing with orthodox medicine, bit of tumor shrinkage gets everyone very excited, but often it's the bigger picture is actually far more important and more interesting. And for example, as well, let's say in Germany, radiologists are trained to take into account about a 10% increase in tumor size due to the tumor actually breaking down. We have a very linear black and white view of when cancer treatment's working, cancer treatment isn't working. Mm. And a lot of the time it can induce fear in people. If, you know, the first sign of that there may be some activity, instead of sort of taking a step back and saying, how does that work for me? What can I do here? There tends to be a knee-jerk reaction towards, okay, let's throw some more chemotherapy at it. So his section is very important in again, helping people look at things from their own perspective. The last section of the book really is our resource section and research section. Could, to a large extent, fill a whole encyclopedia by itself. So what we've done is picked out the best resources that, in our view, people should be aware of and different areas that they can go to. The actual research, etc., supporting all this on a separate website. But we've got a marvellous 40-page resource section so that the book is laid out. It's important to say this for people. The book is laid out in such a way that all that stuff I just talked about is actually quite easy to navigate through. So you can look at an area that you're interested in or look at the stage that you're at in terms of treatment, pre-treatment, post-treatment, and you can then go to what is the most relevant area for you, the areas, things you should be looking at, and then you can go to the resources to find them.
Hmm. So that's important, really. It's not a book you have to read from cover to cover as soon as you get it. It's a book you can...
I wouldn't.
No,
this is the thing. Everybody has a, and quite rightly, has a fantastic enthusiasm. And, you know, this is the thing with integrative medicine, Robin, isn't it? It's the difference. The difference is, it's the difference between sitting in front of your oncologist and going, right, okay, that's it. And this is my statistical prognosis. This is what you're going to do. This is exactly what's going to happen to me. Oh, right, damn. And it's the difference between that and going, oh, God, look what I can do for myself. And it's the difference between an oncologist going, I'm afraid, obviously, you know, this is terminal, blah, blah, blah. And you walking out with, you know, your heart and your boots and looking at integrative medicine and going, oh my God, it's actually quite exciting what I can do for myself. And that is a massive difference.
It is.
That's a massive difference.
Night and day. All right, well, look, we're nearly out of time. Maybe we could just mention a few of the unusual features of the book. One of the most obvious ones is the therapeutic target icons. They're littered throughout the book in the margins and explained to some extent. And they also appear on a back flap that you can open out and refer to anytime you've forgotten what they are. And maybe you just want to say a little bit about those and why they're there.
One of the ways that we've tried to help people navigate or signpost them through the book is we have what you have done, Robin, quite brilliantly, is we've got therapeutic target icons that occur throughout the book. And these are looking at what is the objective you're trying to achieve at this moment in time. We all know what the bigger picture is. We all know what everyone's trying to achieve ultimately, but we've got to break it down to make things workable and not stressful. What is your therapeutic target? Is it detoxification? Is it stimulating the immune system? Is it things that work against cancer, inflammation control, looking at underlying hormone methylation or personal resilience, mind-body stuff? So scattered throughout the book is these therapeutic target icons. There's a very handy reference on the a fold-out back cover flap that you can just go to. Right, hang on a minute, I'm getting confused here. What's that? Yep, sorry, I'm trying to sort out about hormones. That's the icon. This is the section. These are the resources. So that covers, I think it's about 9 different therapeutic targets that really are underlying the main focuses of people's programs and where they should be heading. And that will help people work their way through the minefield, work their way through this great maze of stuff that we have available for people.
For the more technically inclined, there's QR codes in the margins which relate to the content of the book. They're positioned next to the relevant pieces of content. That's maybe you just want to say why those are there.
Well, those are there because we are just absolutely ahead of everybody else. We are rocking technology. For the technologically minded, now this is absolutely brilliant. We've got QR codes. right throughout the book in different sections. And with the app that you can have on iPads, on iPhones, or whatever phone, etc., if you're interested in anything, you know what? Oh, that looks good. I'd like to learn a little bit more about that. Boop, you zap the QR code, and that will actually take you from our book straight to the relevant website. Oh, technology, it's marvellous. So yes, it's not only the best book ever done on integrative medicine, it's also the most high-tech book ever done on integrative medicine.
Great.
We say with all modesty. I've never seen a book like this. I've seen, I've read a lot of books, hundreds, seen a lot of books that work on different subjects, but I've never seen one that walks people through integrative medicine in the way that this does. With a very broad base, but with also a very focused base, so people can A, learn all about integrative medicine if they want to, but also they can just go to it and sort of say, okay, that's me. Where do I go from here? Oh, I go there and there and there, and they get on with it.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for introducing us to the Cancer Revolution. And in
the
following shows, I'm going to be talking to a lot of the other contributors to hear what they have to say about it. But anyway, looking forward very much to it actually being published and being able to get it out there to the public.
Thank you very much for allowing me to be part of this project. It's so exciting to be introducing this to people. I can't wait for it to come out. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic resource. I'm hoping it's going to be well received by the medical profession as a scientifically based, interesting concept to consider and to look at. I always love the idea of the medical world and the scientific world saying that integrative medicine is not scientific. But scientific is surely about being open-minded, about exploring different concepts, about different theories, and about not restricting ourselves in our vision. And the one thing that integrative medicine does is open people's visions up. So I'm very, very, very happy to be involved with this book and very grateful to everybody and all the contributors. It's fantastic. So, you know, I'm hoping everybody will just buy it, talk about it, shout about it, and let's get this moving and making it real in people's lives.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot, Patricia.
So I hope that's given you a flavour of the Cancer Revolution, its amazing wealth of expert contributors, the breadth of its content, its features, resources and more. You can sign up at thecancerrevolution.co.uk, thecancerrevolution.co.uk, to get information about publication, and in a few weeks there'll be a full website there about the book. Next week I'm going to be talking to one of the key contributors, Dr. Rosie Daniel, about her brilliant chapter on managing stress, as well as to journey therapist Patricia Sargent. I do hope you can listen again. Goodbye. Thank you.